Hey, everybody, it's Mike here from the show, and this is not even the ad read yet. You know that's coming up next. But I wanted to, first of all, thank you for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We appreciate it each and every time you take the time to listen in and also spread the word about the podcast. Today's show is really full of heart, and you're going to be rewarded with a great trip report from a guest who went down to Walt Disney World for the very first time. I wanted to let you know, though, the first 13 minutes or so of the interview, the phone connection is not the greatest. But it clears up right after 13 minutes in. It becomes crystal clear. And let me tell you, I want you to hang in this show here till the end, because there's just a story at the end that's gonna touch your heart, and it's going to be exactly why we go to Walt Disney World. So I did want to apologize for the audio quality. It is not up to standards there at the beginning of the show, but it clears up. We get some pixie dust, and it sounds awesome from about 13 minutes on. So thank you so much for downloading the show. I promise you, the story is worth a little bit of sketchy audio at the beginning, and I think you're going to like hearing from Katie today. So thanks again for checking in. And now, back to your regularly scheduled pre-roll before the podcast. Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great folks like the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. Do this today while you're listening to this great trip report. Drop by touringplans.com. See all the great trip planning tools. It's not just about staying out of lines. Of course, that is what they do best. They keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Disney vacation. But they also give you lots of tips to plan that trip before you leave home. You can see resort views. You know, if you want to know what a room looks like from Jamaica over in Caribbean Beach, you can do that. If you want to know what a nice room over at the Yacht Club looks like, hey, you can see inside interior photos of the room, and you can also see views outside the room from all the resort hotel rooms. There's just lots of great tools to help you plan the perfect Disney getaway. So drop by today, support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1081 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and thank you so much for dropping in for another trip report. It's really the best way to start a work week by taking a virtual trip down to Walt Disney World with one of our great listeners. And today we are spanning the globe to get the best trip reports for you, and we got a great guest and a great trip to talk about today. So joining me from down in Mexico, south of Texas, we have listener Katie. Katie, how's it going?
Good. How are you tonight, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's awesome to have somebody that's outside the States. So thanks for taking the time.
Sure. No problem. I'm happy to do it.
I appreciate that. All right. So one of the reasons that we talked, in email and kind of set this show up to talk about here on the podcast is that we don't get this very often on the show anymore. It's kind of a shame, but this was your very first trip to Walt Disney World. So let's talk about that today.
Yeah, definitely. It was our very first trip, and wow, what a trip it was. It was one of our best trips.
All right.
That we've taken as a family.
Oh, that's awesome. So we do apologize for the, we're having a little connection problems. We've been working on it, but we're going to get the show out there. We know that you guys will hang with us and understand that this, we're talking quite a far long away from St. Louis here. So we're going to get it out there. The story's going to be worth it all. So tell us the circumstances. Why did you guys decide to head to Walt Disney World for the very first time?
Well, we're a family that moves quite often, about every 2 or 3 years, because we work for the U.S. government. And in our last move, we found ourselves in northern Mexico. And it was quite a difficult move for my kids who were in middle school. And just a really rough transition for a whole bunch of reasons. And so my husband and I said, we really need to figure out a way to get a family trip in place. And this is kind of the closest we've been to Florida. And it's always been something I've been interested in doing. And so we said, hey, let's give it a try. And so that's kind of how it started. I started in with the research. And like probably many first-timers, I was a bit sticker shocked. but then what I found is the more research I did, the more I was convinced that this could be a really fantastic trip, but I just needed to make sure I did the planning necessary to get the value that we were looking for. And so I did do a lot of planning. I used a lot of tools, including your podcast, started listening to it religiously for all the tips. And I also, the very first thing I did was join touring plans, and that is invaluable. So I highly recommend that for first-time planners.
We love hearing that because we like teaming up with sponsors that can help our listeners, and it truly does. I mean, you know, we're glad to have them as a partner to help keep the show going, but it really does. And, you know, you mentioned something that really kind of warms my heart. First of all, sticker shock for people that have gone many, many times. Don't worry, every time I go, it's like, oh, you know, I hate to write the check or, you know, charge the credit card, but it ends up being worth it once we get down there and have a good time. But yeah, still sticker shock even after quite a while. But you mentioned, you know, you can do this if you got to kind of put in the elbow grease. You got to do the research to make sure that you're getting the most for your dollar. So what kind of things did you do before the trip besides listening to the show and, you know, doing that? So what did you find that, you know, might be something that somebody could use in the future to save money? What did you find worked for you?
Well, I think first you have to understand your own family and how they like to vacation. And I just thought about, you know, my husband really cares about the hotel. My son really cares about, you know, fun rides. My daughter kind of goes with the flow. And my husband and I both love good food. And so I kind of went into it with the mindset of let me try and do the best for each person's needs. And I used touring plans and read through their materials, and I knew we didn't want to go in. As soon as you start learning things, I knew that for us, we wouldn't do well with really heavy crowds. That would kind of overwhelm us. And so I looked for lower crowds. I looked for when it would work, and I decided, yeah, I'm pulling those kids out of the school because, you know, it's not going to affect their college application at this point.
That's a good point.
So, and I also decided that we better go for a full week. There's so much on offer, and the price difference. Like what I found is that if you only go for a couple of days, it's quite a chunk of change. But to add on a few more days, it really isn't that much more. And so I just feel like there's a lot more payback if you can find a way to extend the trip, just, you know, beyond a few nights.
Yeah, Disney does really entice us to, once we get there, to stay as long as possible, especially when it comes to the theme park tickets. Because if you look at, you know, your first day to your second day, you know, they're really expensive. Mm-hmm. Up to like day four and day five, they're quite expensive. But then once you get beyond days, you know, five and beyond up to day 10, you're talking just a few bucks a day each person to enjoy a full day in the parks, which is a great value. But again, they want you to stay because it means you're going to be in their hotel. You're going to be eating their meals most likely. And, you know, they know what they're doing. But you're right. If you can find a time of the year, even during school, if it's possible, if your kids can handle that, you know, if you have kids that are school age and, you know, you have a high likelihood of a discount coming out, you have lower crowds, and many times you also have better weather. So I think you really did a lot of thinking before you planned that trip, that I hope once we get into the trip here in just a couple minutes that it did pay off down the road.
It definitely did. You're precisely right. And my only regret is that we didn't maybe work in two more nights. We were there for 7 nights, and we decided to stay on property because that is what is attractive about going to Disney World, is that idea of it's kind of a destination vacation, and I wanted to just simply be immersed in it and take advantage of everything I could take advantage of, understanding that there would be no way I could take advantage of everything on offer, that I felt that staying on property was going to be a great decision, and it was. I would not hesitate to stay on property, and I would encourage other first-timers to do that.
All right, so what time of the year did you guys go down? So when was this trip?
We went at the very end of February and the beginning of March. The weather was really cool, so it was super comfortable, a little bit chilly in the mornings and the evenings, but otherwise very comfortable weather. The crowds were, you know, they weren't overwhelming. And it was just, it was a perfect week.
So where'd you guys stay?
We stayed at Port Orleans Riverside.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And we stayed in the Royal Princess room. And I was blown away. I'm someone who had to travel all over the world and stayed in so many places. And what I was shocked at is people get online and they talk about the moderates being kind of like motels. And I feel strongly that they aren't like a motel. That gives the wrong impression to a first-timer. Disney does a fantastic job of painting them. For roughly $200 a night for those rooms, I couldn't believe the quality of the rooms. It was fantastic. And the grounds, and you have the boat to Disney Springs. You really do feel like you're at a resort. And there's no way you could get a room in California like that for $400 a night.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you're right about Port Orleans Riverside. It really is, I say on the show many, many times, it's definitely one of my favorites, and it's like walking through a postcard. It's almost like walking through art. And the theming on those royal guest rooms, the princess theming, is incredible. And for somebody that's there for the atmosphere, for the entire Disney experience, there really is nothing better than trying to stay in one of those themed rooms, because it's like, the theming never stops, even down to your bathroom while you're there. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, and I'm saying that as someone who's not princess crazy, and I have a daughter, but she's not interested in princesses. And so even if you aren't gaga over princesses, just the overall artistry of the rooms is super nice.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some times in the parks, because you go to the Disney destinations because you want to have a good time, see some shows, see some attractions, see some parades, fireworks, all that stuff. So what were some of the highlights looking back now on that trip?
Well, I think the highlights, it's hard to say what the highlights were, because every day was a highlight. Every meal was a highlight. There were so many surprises. One of the decisions we made early on, and that was also kind of a difficult one, was to go ahead and do the dining plan. And while I don't personally believe the dining plan saves you any money except for in rare circumstances, what it does save you is stress. And the difference between the dining plan and paying it out of pocket isn't necessarily that big of a difference. So it released me from the stress of saying, maybe we shouldn't eat at so many sit-down meals. We already paid for everything, and we had these fantastic meals, and you ordered exactly what you wanted, and you didn't worry about the bill. And again, that just makes it feel like it's an all-inclusive vacation. We really loved our meal at Chef Stick Burns. That was a highlight. We had the corner window table at the front of the restaurant, and the chef came out and brought us hors d'oeuvres and spent some time talking to us, and that was incredible.
That's awesome. I've never eaten there, and it sounds, I've always heard good things about that place, but I'm just not I'm kind of adventurous, but French food, I don't know. I don't know if I can go the full way on French food. Now, you've traveled the world. I haven't, so that's probably the difference.
Mike, I've been listening to your podcast for a year now, and you make me laugh so often. you love Disney, and you love so much about Disney, and yet you seem to limit yourself on the food issues.
Oh,
it's
not
a corn dog nugget.
Not as bad as my kids. I'll eat, Mexican. I love Mexican food. I always have my Las Fuentes three nights a week here in St. Louis. But I will try things like Japanese and Chinese and all that stuff. But for some reason, I don't know. I think it's the snails, the escargot. I don't think I could do that.
Well, you don't need to eat that. But French food is just simple food prepared very well.
Okay, well, I can go for that.
I think you'd enjoy it. And the desserts were spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. We also had a wonderful meal that was a surprise at Mama Melrose, because that's given very mixed reviews. And we loved it. We ended up getting a cast member who was honored as cast member of the year a few years ago. He's been at Disney for 20 years, so he was flipping fantastic. We had a dinner. Sorry, my dog's in the room.
That's okay.
We had a dinner at the Wave, and that was delicious. Just surprisingly delicious. Everywhere we went, Raglan Road, we ate at. Excellent. Again, I will tell you this. I would say of our dinners, the Be Our Guest restaurant was maybe my least favorite. And while the theming of that restaurant is beautiful, and I recommend people go, I think the lunch is a much better deal. Because even though it's a nice meal, it feels like a cafeteria in there a little bit. So it doesn't feel like a real restaurant sometimes. And I felt like the cupcakes were overrated.
Oh, no, you had me until you said that. That strawberry shortcake cupcake is unreal. I love that thing. But, yeah, I mean, everybody likes something different, but that's, it's like eating just perfect air for me. I love that thing.
I thought that the starring role cupcakes were to die for.
Oh, yeah, you're right there. Those things, though, are a lot more dense. Those things are thick. They fill you up fast.
Oh, yeah, that's the opposite. How funny. I felt the reverse. I felt the Be Our Guests were dense, the starry rolls was more light with the frosting and such. But you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I'm definitely not a foodie.
Yeah, and as far as highlights, to switch gears a little bit, another thing that we absolutely loved was the Enchanted Tales with Belle. And again, I think this is where research comes in, because if you read up about what's on offer, you see things, you hear reviews, and if I hadn't have done that, I don't think I would have thought to go to a character experience. But it is unbelievable. It's just spectacular in its animatronics and theming, and even my 12-year-old son was impressed with it.
And that's saying something right there, because that's because it's not one of those attractions where your hair's on fire and, you know, you're blasting through space or anything like that. And the thing about Enchanted Tales with Belle, you bring up a good point that this one's easy to walk past because it's hard to describe to somebody. You know, it's not a roller coaster. It's not a spinner ride. It's not. Is it a meet and greet? It kind of is at the end. You know, is it a show? Yeah, it's kind of a show. It's really kind of a molding of its. It's a brand new experience. You really can't put into words, but it's a really neat thing. Like you said, when you see Lumiere, you're like, he's really there in the room. It's like you've walked into the movie. So I think that's a great call, especially for first timers, to give some of those off the beaten path attractions a shot, because those could end up being your favorite thing.
Exactly. You know, it's art in action.
That's a good way to put it.
And that's the thing, when you do your research and you hear from people who have gone time and again, and you hear these things about how Hollywood Studios is only a half day park and Animal Kingdom's only a half day park. And when I went, I didn't even get to do everything we wanted to do. We decided on the non-park hopper, the one park per day. We did 5 days in the park and 7 nights at the resort. And I found that the only way you can consider any of those parks less than half a day is if the only thing you're looking for are rides, those kinds of attractions. But if you're interested in the overall artistic experience, I don't think you can do any of those parks in a day. I don't even think you can do Hollywood Studios right now in a day if you really want to explore everything that's there.
That's a great point. That's so true because, you know, being a first timer, everything is something you want to experience. I think that when people say, you know, parks are a half day park, you know, like some people say Animal Kingdom, some people say the studios right now, it's because you're only going there maybe for the e-ticket attractions, you know, Tower, Rock and Roller Coaster, Star Tours, maybe Great Movie Ride. But you're right. You could spend, you could go into the launch bay now and spend an hour to 2 hours in there and then, you know, go see One Man's Dream and spend 30 minutes, you know, and then go see all the shows, Indiana Jones, Frozen, and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, when you add all that stuff up, you're up to a full day because you haven't even hit the major attractions yet. So that's a good, very good point.
Yes, you're right. In Animal Kingdom, we got to see both the Nemo show and the Lion King show. The Nemo show turned out to be my husband's favorite. The
yes.
Lion King show turned out to be my daughter's favorite. And it's such a fun park. I can't wait to go back again.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that Nemo Show hits hard with the dads. That's one of my favorite too. And most of the guys I know, boy, that one hits you right there. You know, when you got kids, it's a powerful message.
That's right.
So how old are your kids? I don't think you mentioned yet. Your son's 12.
Yeah, my daughter's 10 and my son just turned 13. So they were about 10 and 12 when we went.
So this was their first time, obviously. And, you know, any surprises that you saw, like you expected them to like this and they maybe didn't, or something you're like, they probably won't like this, and it ended up being something they really enjoyed.
Well, I think that I was surprised at how much both kids enjoyed Enchanted Tales with Belle. We went to 1900 Park Fair for the Cinderella's dinner with the stepsisters, and that was for mom because my kids aren't interested in character experiences, and they knew, you know, this is mom's trip too, and they really were fantastic in participating and going along with all of it. And the stepsister even planted a big fat red kiss on my son's cheek, and that was just so hilarious. So the kids were great about everything. The kids were, I kind of talked to them beforehand about, you know, we're trying to do things for each of us in this family. And so, you know, everybody's going to have a turn. Everybody's going to get certain things they want. And so then the kids were very good about going along with the other person's preference. One of the things that I was surprised at was in Animal Kingdom, my daughter, who just absolutely loves animals, we didn't even get a chance to go on any of the trails because they rode Expedition Everest, I think, 6 and 7 times respectively that day. They loved that coaster.
That's why you're there. Have a good time. You know, it's, you want to see the animals, but then again, there's a gigantic roller coaster that's pretty sweet. That's a tough call there for a kid.
You got it.
But you're doing the right thing as a parent. Hey, man, go ride it as many times as you want. We're at Walt Disney World. That's what it's all about.
Yes. And one other thing I wanted to express to first time visitors is that while I did so much planning and I encourage people to plan and do their research, I really also encourage people to just let go once they get there. Recognize that all your plans can't go just as you want them to go. So go with the flow, have a positive attitude, and I believe your positive attitude will be met with, you know, magic. So for instance, we were at Hollywood Studios. One of the things I didn't mention is that both grandmas came with us on this trip. And my mother, who enjoys Disney, but is someone who always wants to get home just one day early. She needs to get back home. She had the time of her life, and she decided to actually book an extra night to be with us one additional night. And I went to Hollywood Studios Guest Relations when we got there before park opening. I just wanted to say to Guest Relations, you know, hey, I just want to give you positive feedback. You probably hear complaints all the time, but I want to let you know that this happened. We're having such a good time that my mom stayed an additional night. And I want to say thank you to all the cast members who do such a good job to create this experience. And I simply wanted to share that feedback. And when I did that, Rebecca at Hollywood Studios looked at me and said, "What's your mom's name?" And then she wrote up a VIP pass for Fantasmic that night. And she gave us a fast and anytime fast pass for our whole party, and then gave us a coupon to get a free ice cream. I mean, it was just like, it almost brought me to tears because you feel that you are in this bubble, and you're in this bubble where there's part reality, part magic. And it becomes a world that you can create too, because you're participating in all of this. And that's where it was so special for us.
And that's why we go there. I mean, those kind of memories. And like you said, having, you know, your family and then your mother there, and, you know, the both grandparents there, you know, grandmother's there for the kids. I'd imagine that, you know, she wanted to stay because we don't get the opportunity to be with our family in a situation like that, where you don't have to worry about work for a few days. You don't have to worry about the house or, you know, a school or anything like that. I would imagine that, you know, just from a philosophical, you know, point of view, it's like her heart was probably so full on that vacation that she just, you know, and this is how I feel every time I go down. I just don't want it to end. And I think that's kind of the best compliment you can pay a place, is that, you know, I'm so happy here. I just don't want to ever leave.
Yes, I guess I've drunk the Kool-Aid a bit, but I was definitely sold on Walt Disney World after this trip.
Man, that is so awesome. It's a great way to start the week. So you mentioned, too, that your husband, you know, you're trying to do something. And I like the way you kind of set up the expectations for the trip. You know, everybody's going to have something that they're going to enjoy. So we're going to focus, you know, part of the trip on this, part of the trip on this. And everybody's going to get a little something. So we got to be flexible when it's not your thing. But your husband, you said, was really into the resort. So did he find Riverside to be up to his liking? Sounds like you loved it. But what were his thoughts?
Yes, he enjoyed it very much. He also enjoyed going one morning, walking over to the French Quarter and having some beignets and a coffee. He enjoyed the boat ride to Disney Springs and the whole layout of the resort. He was very, very happy with it.
Man, sounds like a good time. So as we kind of wrap up today's show and you know, throw it out there for everybody to check out and comment over on our Facebook page, any kind of last tips that I think you gave a great one just a minute ago about you just got to let go sometimes and kind of let the day unfold and expect to have a great day, positive attitude, and it's going to be amazing, you know, let go of your plans. But anything else, you know, because I think a first-timer's perspective is very refreshing, and it's something even the vets need to hear. So anything you can offer.
Okay. Yeah, I think that the letting go is probably the best advice I have. But I would also say that as you stay on your program, there is value for money. And so once you just get over that initial hump of, okay, this is going to cost us a little bit to get there, I would try to extend the trip. If you're a first-timer, what I would say is I can picture someone who only goes for 2 or 3 days with their kids over the Christmas holiday or the Easter holiday who isn't prepared, going away from it and saying, ah, what was all of that about? And so I do think that if you can just put a little extra research, a little extra time into it, that's your best bet, and spend a little bit extra money to have exponential payback for that. And the other thing I would say is just one quick little thing was when we went to Disney Springs, we stopped by the ganachery to buy some chocolate for a friend. And when we were inside, my daughter said, oh, do you think we could get some? And I said, okay, let's pick some out. And then she said, well, can we eat them? And it was right before lunch. And as a mom, of course, my first reaction is, oh, let's wait and make it special. And then it hit me. This is the special time.
So
this is the time to eat it. We went outside, we sat together, and we just all took little bites of the chocolate before lunch, and it was just like the perfect moment, because you need to be in the moment, because there's so much stimuli and it's so overwhelming that make yourself stop, make yourself just look around, make yourself go a little bit slower and realize that this is the moment.
Oh man, that is so perfect. That's in the vets, all of us need to hear this. I need to hear this. You know what? I think just kind of building on what you just said from your story there at Disney Springs, I think on your trip, you should pick out one meal during the week. You know, if you're there for a week or 5 nights or whatever, one meal, everybody has dessert first. You know what? You're on vacation. You only live once. Why not? You know, let's make that a thing. What do you think, Katie?
I think that's a fantastic idea. And in fact, we're going back in November. So maybe that's going to be part of our plan.
Let's make it a thing and put some pictures up on Instagram. Let's have fun. Let's get to the good stuff first. I love it. You know what? Speaking of the good stuff, this is the good stuff here on a Monday. And Katie, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day and kicking the week off with us. And I think we got a little pixie dust, because after a few minutes, the line cleared up and it sounds crystal clear. And it's a pleasure for our listeners. So thanks again, Katie. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
You too. And don't forget, today's show is brought to you by The Wisdom of Walt. It's a great book. You need to check it out. If you love Disney, it all started with Walt Disney himself putting together Disneyland. And in that park, he left us lots of lessons to be learned, you know, well beyond his years. And, you know, as you walk through Disneyland today, you can see little nods to the future that kind of help you see, you know, where's there a connection to your personal life with that attraction? Or, you know, he did the Hall of Presidents, you know, not the Hall of Presidents, but great moments with Mr. Lincoln. What's that teaching us today? And there's lots of little stories in there, vignettes, and just a great book. It's a great read for any Disney fan, but you know what? It also helps you make the most of each and every day. So check out The Wisdom of Walt. It's available on Amazon. You can get a hard copy, soft cover, ebook, or if you're a podcast listener, grab the audio version. I think you'll like that too. So check out this and all the great ways you can get it over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Today's show also brought to you by touringplans.com. And like Katie said, lots of great trip planning tools, not just the Lines app, which is awesome because it steers you clear of the crowds on your Disney vacation, but also many, many resources that are free to you to plan a great vacation. So drop by and check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, we're going to let you get on with your Monday. Thanks so much for checking in. We appreciate it each and every time you download and listen to the Be Our Guest Podcast. So for Katie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon. Woof, woof.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.